Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Fantasize Me, the podcast where I take characters real or imagined, and I fantasize them as D&D characters. I'm your host, Zach Katz, and today I have a very special guest with me. Oh my god. This is Kenzie Tartaglioni.
Hello, hello.
Kenzie, you and I did an actual play together at one point, and you were fantastic. It was so fun to roleplay with you.
It was a lot of fun. I hope to see it someday.
Yeah, me too. That'd be cool. So where can people find you? What would people know you from?
So you could find me on Twitter or Instagram at ktartaglioni8. But I also am the creative director of my own podcast called Queer PG, and that is a TTRPG podcast by queer people for queer people, where we do our best to play queer-made games. And you can find that podcast at Queer PG Pod on the socials.
That's awesome. I love the concept. So fun.
Yeah.
And also important.
I agree. My whole pitch of it was like, I know a lot of queer people play TTRPGs, and they're all over the world, but there doesn't seem to be, like, a spot for queer games specifically, so that's why I was like, right, let's do this.
Great, I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so today, we are going to be turning Supergirl into a D&D character, and this was a suggestion by Kenzie.
Yes, yes.
So you can't see, but Kenzie is wearing a Supergirl shirt right now.
I am. I decided to be on brand for this.
Absolutely. I love it. So let me give a little background history of Supergirl. Just took some notes here. Supergirl was first introduced in Action Comics number 252 in May of 1959. So 65 years ago. And she was introduced in a story called The Supergirl from Krypton. And in this original version, she appeared as Superman's cousin, and she had a bunch of supporting roles in more Action Comics and Superman comics until she finally got her own series named Supergirl in 1972. But what I found really interesting in my research is that she wasn't the first Supergirl. Before she was introduced, there's actually another Supergirl, and this Supergirl was created when Jimmy Olsen, Superman's BFF, made a wish on a magic totem for Superman to have a female counterpart to help him, and thus Supergirl was created. And what a wild ride she went on. She's wished into existence, then she's fatally wounded trying to save Superman from a kryptonite meteor, and then as she's dying, she insists that Jimmy Olsen wish her out of existence.
She also had, like, the ugliest costume.
Oh, it was terrible. It was so bad. But what DC Comics did, the purpose of this, was to gauge people's reaction for a female counterpart to Superman. And apparently, the reaction was very positive, because not even 1 year later, they made and released Supergirl. And this is the Supergirl we all know and love, Kara Zor-El. And people really genuinely loved Supergirl. The DC Comics office received thousands of positive letters in support of Supergirl. So people were, you know, clamoring for this female Kryptonian, someone else aside from Wonder Woman, powerful female representative. Supergirl's backstory itself is kind of wild and complicated. Everyone's names sound the same. It's like Zor-El, Zar-El, Dra-El. Before Supergirl, Superman was posited to be the only survivor of Krypton's destruction, but there is a city called Argo City that survived the destruction, and that's where Supergirl is from. But because of some unstable fission, the city's foundation turned into green kryptonite and started killing everyone anyway. So Supergirl's parents launched her to Earth in an outfit similar to Superman's so that he would recognize her. And then all the saved Kryptonians died.
Yeah, it was really smart. Which, really smart.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the point of that? So Supergirl is found by Superman, and she's, instead of Superman like taking care of her, he puts her in an orphanage, Midvale Orphanage, where she goes under the name Linda Lee. I was surprised of the name Linda Lee, because I know her as, you know, Kara, or Kara?
Kara.
Kara, okay, thank you. I knew it sounded wrong. Kara Danvers is the Supergirl name I know. But she went under the secret identity of Linda Lee, and she would wear a brunette wig to hide the fact that she's Supergirl at Superman's insistence. She's like, you don't have full control over your powers yet. You need to learn to control them first before you kind of reveal yourself as Supergirl. So Kara was adopted by Fred and Edna Danvers, and her name was changed to Linda Lee Danvers. And her adoptive parents and Superman knew her true identity. So that's, you know, the base story of Kara Zor-El. Very cool. Has much the same powers as Superman. Same weaknesses to Kryptonite. And same boons she gets from being under the sun. So, yeah that's Supergirl. Now, Kenzie, you're the one who chose Supergirl.
Yeah.
Can I ask why? What's your connection to Supergirl?
There's not, like, a footnote short way to explain this, so I'll do my best to kind of figure out how to do that. But I was not, like, a big comics fan at all. And granted, I'm still, like, not, like, I don't know. I know the history of Supergirl comics because I like her, not because I've read all of them. My actual beginnings with this character was from the 2015 CBS show that came out.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I got into that because I was a musical theater kid who watched Glee and loved Melissa Benoist from Glee. Yes. And then I was like, and now she's playing the first female superhero on television? Yes, I'll watch this.
Hell
so that's
yeah.
where it started with that. And then I like kind of started to go back and like read some of the old comics, but I wasn't really into it because it wasn't the same character that I had like seen presented to me. Except for a couple comics. Like, I think Supergirl Being Super was like a coming of age version of Supergirl that I thought was really good for fans. And then also Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow, which I think they just recently cast for, what's her name? Millie Alcott from House of the Dragons.
Oh,
yeah, I believe she's going to play Supergirl now. But that's like one of the best Supergirl stories in comics, I feel like, has been written is Woman of Tomorrow. But yeah, the television show is kind of where my love for Supergirl originated and still resides. That's kind of the crux of it. I just love that iteration. I loved this whole, you know, Superman was sent to Earth as a baby, grew up on Earth, and then you have this person, Kara, who was sent to Earth when she was in any iteration from the age of like 12 to being an adult. Yeah. And which means she had a full life and full memories and recollection of Krypton and what her home used to be. And I just feel like that brings with it a whole new layer of trauma.
Yeah.
And to watch a character be so sunny and joy-filled and happy and corny, and then sometimes you just see, like, falling in to what she once knew and what she once was and, like, what she lost was super intriguing. And I don't necessarily think the show did that as much as it could have, but there are some really memorable moments for me from that show of, like, her kind of, like, breaking down and losing it in this rage that I don't think a lot of women are, you know, often portrayed to have. And it was really cool. And so that's kind of where my love for this character lies.
Yeah, hell yeah. I've seen, I think, 2 seasons of Supergirl. Because I used to be, like, really into the Arrowverse. I would watch every episode of every show. But then it became too much for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also became not good. So correct. I usually tell people that there are about 2.5, maybe 3 good seasons of Supergirl, and then you should just stop watching it.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I didn't miss much.
No.
Yeah, and I think Melissa Benoist did a fantastic job great Supergirl.
Yeah. I think she's really, because she just has that, she has the ability, she has the emotional range to do both ends of the spectrum of being the happy-go-lucky, corny type of person to then also just having the emotional depth to reach, you know, bits of trauma. You need to be a person who is pretty much a god on Earth. So,
I mean, the whole, you know, Justice League Gods Among Us series kind of lends itself to that. That, like, yeah, she could take us all out.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't. And I love that for her. But
Yeah,
I think that's a good point, because in a lot of iterations, she is, like you said, 12 when Krypton is destroyed, and or when she's sent to Earth. And she was born before Superman, but in her journey, she's in a stasis pod. So when she arrives, she appears younger than Superman. So she, you're right, she does have this knowledge of Krypton and of what life was like with, you know, her parents and her family and friends. And God, that's tragic.
Yeah, it's a big draw for me, so.
It's very good.
There's just a lot of layers there.
Yeah. It's fun. Superman, to me, he never had enough going for him. It's like, oh, I'm perfect in every way, and my only trauma is that this place that I didn't know isn't there anymore. But her having actual ties to it, I think, creates a lot more depth.
Yeah, they also have different mottos, too, and I prefer Supergirl's motto. Superman's is, like, truth, justice, and the American way.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I think so.
Which is rough. And then Supergirl's is hope, help, and compassion for all. Which I think is just, I don't know, it's more humanity-driven than Superman's. Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, all right, now that we know a bit about Supergirl's background, let's pick her background. Let's start turning her into a D&D character.
Ooh.
So,
I mean, I got some thoughts.
Please tell me.
Well, I guess I will say that I've never thought about background for her before. Mm-hmm. But thinking about it, she came from a scientifically driven family on Krypton. So I don't know if there's something that necessarily works exactly with that, but some sort of like something that maybe a sage background.
Sage? Okay. Just
smarty. That was just a thought.
There is a background Simic scientist.
I mean, that one's not bad, because that one's all about how nature and civilization exist in harmony. And I think when you have, when you come from parents who, from their own hubris, accidentally destroyed your home planet, that's not a terrible... The environment and science and civilization have a big thing to do with that. So that's a pretty good one, the Simic scientist, yeah.
Okay, awesome. And I know about that because I just did it for my previous character. So I'm like, oh, scientist, there's one.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So as a Simic scientist, Supergirl will gain skill proficiencies in Arcana and Medicine, as well as two languages of her choice. And I like to pick the languages once we have the race, so we can do all the languages at once. But I think Arcana and Medicine definitely make sense because, you know, to us humans, her powers definitely seem like magic.
Mm-hmm.
And in D&D, Arcana checks are oftentimes used for, like, highly advanced technologies.
Yeah.
And then Medicine, because she's got to pass as a human.
Yeah, and I think that there have been moments where she has used her powers for healing measures. I'm remembering a specific scene that is in, like, one of the later seasons of the show where her sister is, like, pretty much dead, and she literally, like, pulls the sunlight that plants take in through photosynthesis out of them to, like, heal her sister.
That is sick. Okay, so absolutely medicine proficiency. That's very freaking cool.
Yeah.
All right, great. Now that we have our background Simic scientist, let's pick a race. So my first thought immediately was a race that can fly.
Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I agree, because she should be able to fly. But because her flight comes from powers, I don't know if it should be like an innate way to fly.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And she doesn't have wings. So like being an Asimar or something wouldn't necessarily aesthetically fit.
Okay. So I like to go wild with the races, and like she'll still look like Supergirl, but I was thinking something like halfling, because they have this racial trait Lucky, which I think makes a lot of sense for her. She did get lucky in a lot of ways, being one of the only survivors from Krypton, as well as the halfling ability Brave to give her advantage on saving throws against being frightened. I think that might be fitting as well.
Yeah, that's not bad. I kind of like both of those vibes. Yeah, I don't know. Like, if left to my own devices, I'd probably go the most boring route and choose human. Because that's, like, what she is most like. But if we're looking to give some more abilities that kind of drive into personality, then I think both Lucky and Brave are good choices. I was thinking also possibly Air Genasi.
Ooh, okay.
Because of the unending breath, which means they can hold their breath indefinitely.
Yeah.
And mingle with the wind, which isn't necessarily flying, but, you know, it gives you the ability to cast Featherfall and levitate.
Mm-hmm.
So that it kind of exists there. I will say that some of the other abilities, though, for this race aren't necessarily in line, I don't think, with the character, so halfling might be the better choice.
I'll leave it up to you, because I think Air Genasi could fit. And you know, we're not looking for a 1-to-1
perfection. Yeah.
Right. We're just looking for things that we think would be fitting for them, and then you know the rest of the stuff we can kind of use class abilities to fill in.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to go with your recommendation here, halfling, because I think the Brave and the advantage against saving throws against being frightened is really good for this character.
Yeah, how are you going to frighten Supergirl?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to make her a halfling. So as a halfling, she gets the Lucky ability, which I think is such a broken ability. It's so good.
I would agree.
So when Supergirl rolls a 1 on an attack roll, ability check, or saving throw, she can re-roll the die and must use the new roll. So that almost completely eliminates the chances that she'll get a nat 1. With the Brave ability, Supergirl has advantage on saving throws against being frightened. And she also gains the ability Halfling Nimbleness, so she can move through the space of any creature that is of a size larger than hers. And I like that ability too, because she's, you know, she's fast and she...
Yeah, fits in with super speed. So.
Yeah, exactly. So now there are a bunch of sub-races. I think I just might go Stout Halfling to give her advantage on saving throws against being poisoned and resistance to poison damage.
Also, the constitution score increase, because Kryptonians are pretty much... There's only two things in the world that can hurt them, really, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So from being a halfling, she knows the languages Common and Halfling, and she gets two others of her choice from being a Simic scientist, so... I mean, what D&D languages do you think it would be pertinent for her to know?
I think Sylvan and Celestial.
Love it. Yeah, no complaints there.
Yeah.
Okay. So now that we have her background, Simic Scientist, and her race, Stout Halfling, we can roll for stats. So that's when you take a D6, a 6-sided die, roll it 4 times, drop the lowest number, and add up the remaining 3 to get one of her 6 ability scores. So we're going to do that 6 times. Kenzie's going to do 3, and I'm going to do 3. Looking for a gift for the D&D or TTRPG nerd in your life? Look no further than We Print Miniatures. We Print Miniatures has a huge range of over 3,000 miniatures that they can print on demand and send to you or your loved ones, or even people you just sort of like. Check them out at weprintminiatures.com, and at checkout, use promo code FANTASIZEMEPOD to get 10% off your entire order. I love that for you. Alright, so we rolled for stats, and Kenzie got 14, 14, and 13, and I got 14, 15, and 12, which average out to be the exact same for both of us, which is fun. So now we can put those stats where we think they should go. So 15 is the highest we got. What do we think Supergirl's highest stat is?
I think strength.
Okay, 15 to strength. Now we have 3 14s. Where do you want to put those?
Yeah. I think Supergirl is intelligent, and I think Supergirl is wise, but I think that the 3 14 should be in dex, con, and charisma.
Charisma? So why charisma? Because that wouldn't have been my guess.
Because I think she talks before she punches. And I don't think her go-to is always violence. So if you're in a situation where you might be able to talk your way out of a fight, that would be her first inclination.
Okay. Yeah, perfect then. All right, then we have a 13 and a 12. So do you think she's more intelligent or more wise?
I always have an issue with these ones.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. My biggest issue that I have with them is the nature and medicine stat.
Yeah.
I think should be switched. Like, nature is intelligence-based and medicine is wisdom-based, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree.
But there are a lot more skills than just those two.
I would think slightly higher intelligence than wisdom, because she does have this... Yeah, she does have this background in technology way beyond human capabilities.
Yeah, so 13 in intelligence.
13 in intelligence.
And 12 in wisdom.
Yeah, I mean, we rolled really well. She's above average in everything, which I think makes a lot of sense because she's Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
I do a general +2 and then a +1. So it does, we don't have to lock in the halfling modifiers because I personally think that's limiting. Like, what if I want a barbarian halfling? You know? Let me put that +2 into strength, baby. So what do we think needs a boost? I would think a +1 to strength to increase the modifier to a +3 to make it a 16.
Mm-hmm. I was definitely gonna say strength.
Yeah. And then we have a +2, so we can make dexterity, constitution, or charisma a +3 as well.
I think constitution would be the most important.
Yeah, she's a Kryptonian. She's so sturdy. It takes so much to damage her.
She's practically invulnerable.
Exactly, yeah. All right, so Supergirl's starting stats are 16 strength, 14 dexterity, 16 constitution, 13 intelligence, 12 wisdom, and 14 charisma. Not bad to start.
Love the looks of it.
So now we can pick Supergirl's first class.
I like that you said first class because I also think she's multiple classes.
Oh yeah. I've only made a character that's a single class once, and that's because it was an emailed in request that I do that. Everyone else has been at least two classes. I think the most has been like 4. So what do we think is fitting for Supergirl to start in?
I've got what might seem like a wild pitch when I say it.
No, go for it.
But I think Warlock.
Okay, that did throw me a little bit. Why Warlock?
Yeah, because the cantrip spells that you can get with Warlock fit really easily with her known powers.
Okay.
So, like Eldritch Blast, easily flavored as coming out of the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, laser vision. You can get like Chill Touch and Frostbite. Ooh. Which Cold Breath.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So some of the spells that come with like the Warlock beginning, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm way into this. Okay, so as a Warlock, she's going to gain proficiencies in light armor and simple weapons, as well as wisdom and charisma saving throws. And I think those saving throws make sense for Supergirl.
Mm-hmm.
And she can choose 2 skills to be proficient in from Arcana, Deception, History, Intimidation, Investigation, Nature, and Religion. So I already have Arcana. So what skill proficiencies do you think would be fitting? I think Nature. and and honestly, intimidation.
I was going to say deception and intimidation. And I was only, the only reason I was going to say deception was because more related to like comic character is her living a double life.
I love that. I'm so glad you are here for this. Yes, deception and intimidation makes perfect sense to me. So boom, proficiencies in those. And intimidation is, I think she's very intimidating despite herself. You know, like, I don't think she necessarily wants to be intimidating, but she just is.
The way you carry yourself and the way you hold confidence all kind of leads into how other people perceive you.
Absolutely. So as a first level warlock, she gains an otherworldly patron. So this is the warlock subclass. Did you have any thoughts on what one would be fitting for this?
Yeah. I think the celestial.
Yeah.
And I think the celestial because her god is the sun god.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. She gets her powers from the sun. So it makes sense that, you know, this celestial body would translate to a celestial that she worships.
Yeah.
So as a celestial warlock, she has an expanded spell list like Cure Wounds and Guiding Bolt. And I think that makes sense from what you told me of drawing in the light from the plants to cast Cure Wounds.
Yeah.
Is very cool. For bonus cantrips, she's going to learn the Light and Sacred Flame cantrips. Beautiful. And she also gains Healing Light, furthering this idea that she has this healing energy. So Supergirl is going to have a pool of D6s that she can spend to fuel this healing equal to 1 plus her Warlock level. So at the moment, she has 2 of these. And as a bonus action, Supergirl can heal 1 creature she can see within 60 feet of her and spend dice from this pool. The maximum number of dice that she can spend at once equals her charisma modifier, which at the moment is +2. She'll roll the dice she spends, add them together, and restore a number of hit points equal to the total. And she regains all expended dice when she finishes a long rest. But this is great because, first of all, warlocks don't have access to healing normally.
Mm-hmm.
But now she has this access to healing, and it's a bonus action to heal. Which I just think lends a lot more versatility, because now she can use an action for that Eldritch Blast Eye Beams, and then bonus action heal, all in one turn. It's so good.
Look at that.
I know. She's already so powerful.
Ooh.
So she has Pact Magic, which is different from regular spellcasting that all other spellcasters get. She only has a few spell slots, but they are all of the same level, and the level just increases as she gains levels in Warlock. With her Warlock spells, her spellcasting ability is going to be this Charisma. So her spell save DC, or what a target has to equal or beat to resist the effects of her spells, is going to be 8, plus her proficiency bonus, plus her Charisma modifier, making that spell save DC a 14. Not bad for first level.
Mm-hmm.
And spell attack modifier is going to be +4. Not great for first level, but that's okay. If we increase her charisma, that's just going to go up as she gains levels. Her proficiency bonus will go up, so I'm not worried about that. So, second level, I think we should continue in Warlock so that she gets those Eldritch Invocations.
Mm-hmm.
So, second level Warlock, she gains Eldritch Invocations, which are just special abilities that Warlocks have. And she can choose 2 of these Eldritch Invocations. And there are so many. I never go through all of them because depending on the levels you take in Warlock, you can just have so many of them and I don't want to take the time.
Yeah.
But for now, I think what makes sense is maybe Eldritch Mind is a really good one to give her advantage on constitution saving throws that she makes to maintain concentration on a spell.
I was going to say that one. And also, I think Agonizing Blast.
Oh, hell yes. So Agonizing Blast just boosts the damage of Eldritch Blast. She'll now add her Charisma modifier to the damage it deals on a hit, which I think it makes sense. She's got these powerful laser eyes. Just increase the strength there. So Eldritch Mind, Agonizing Blast. Beautiful. Now, third level. Do you want to continue in Warlock, or should we have our first multi-class?
If we do multi-class right now, I think I might want to come back to Warlock at some point.
That's fine.
But I'm fine with switching over to a new class right now if we can.
Yeah, we can jump.
Yeah.
So I think second level warlock. I think first level barbarian.
Okay.
I don't think the name rage that a barbarian gets is really fitting. I mean, she does have this rage that she draws on, but I don't think that's, like, the source of her combat prowess. But I do like what the rage ability gives her, which is extra damage on her attacks that use strength, and also resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage.
I wasn't going to say that, but now that you've explained it, I agree with you.
Okay. Okay, so let's go into first level barbarian. Let me just...
And yeah. As a warlock, she doesn't have the ability to use heavy armor, so she'd never have to worry about that conflicting with the rage as well.
Exactly. So as a barbarian, she's going to gain proficiency in shields, simple weapons, and martial weapons. So she can use a bit more weapons and a shield if she wants to. But as a first level barbarian, she's going to gain that rage ability that I talked about. So on her turn, she can enter a rage as a bonus action. And again, I don't see this as a rage. I see this as her putting in effort, you know, switching from Kara Danvers to Supergirl. And what this means is when she's raging, which she can enter as a bonus action, she's going to have advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws. Makes a lot of sense. And also when she makes a melee weapon attack using strength, she's going to gain a +2 bonus to that damage roll. And if we go much higher in barbarian, that'll increase. I don't know how far we're going to get. But also, she's going to gain resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage while she is raging. Which, I mean, it's Supergirl. How are you going to hurt her? Does everyone have, you know, kryptonite? I couldn't remember the name. Does everyone have kryptonite? Also, as a first level barbarian, she gains unarmored defense, which I wanted her to have because, you know, she's not wearing this heavy armor all the time. She's just very sturdy. So while she's not wearing any armor, her armor class is 10, plus her dexterity modifier, plus her constitution modifier, which means her armor class is a 15, which isn't bad.
Not for third level.
Exactly. So I want to go second level in barbarian so that she gets those two abilities there.
Yeah, I definitely think danger sense is a big one.
Yes. So second level in barbarian, fourth overall, she gains danger sense. So now Supergirl's going to have advantage on dexterity saving throws against effects that she can see, which makes a lot of sense because she has this super speed. She has this incredible reaction time that borders on, you know, a pre-flex essentially. And I think this really reflects that.
Yeah.
She's also going to gain reckless attack. And I think when, like you mentioned, up top, she has this, you know, she can use this rage. And I feel like reckless attack reflects that better than the rage ability does.
Mm-hmm.
Because it even says in the description, she throws aside all concern for defense to attack with fierce desperation. When Supergirl makes her first attack on her turn, she can decide to attack recklessly, which would give her advantage on melee weapon attack rolls using strength during this turn. The downside is all attack rolls against Supergirl will have advantage until her next turn.
You give some, you take some.
Exactly. So I wouldn't really say she's very concerned with defense because very little can hurt her.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now, should we go third level in barbarian to pick a subclass, or should we jump back to warlock, pick another class? What are your thoughts?
I've got another class in mind that we can go back to barbarian at some point if we'd like. Mm-hmm. But I do want to get this other one in there early enough.
Yeah, let's do it.
Paladin.
I was thinking paladin.
I'm glad we're on the same page.
Oh, absolutely. Because she hits hard. In my opinion, there's very few classes can do as much damage in a single strike as paladin.
Absolutely.
So as a paladin, she's going to gain proficiency in light armor, medium armor, shield, simple weapons, and martial weapons. This just gives her proficiency in medium armor, but She does not need it. So first level paladin, fifth level overall, she's going to gain divine sense. So as an action, Supergirl can open her awareness to strong evil or powerful good, and until the end of her next turn, she'll know the location of any celestial, fiend, or undead within 60 feet of her that's not behind total cover. And she can use this feature number of times equal to 1 plus her charisma modifier per long rest. I don't know if that makes perfect sense for Supergirl. I guess we could flavor this as like her incredible hearing.
Maybe. Yeah, I was going to say the perception of like having super hearing and x-ray vision would probably be the only way that this would necessarily fit exactly. But I think it kind of pairs well, though, with the danger sense.
Yes, I agree. Just having this great awareness around you.
Yeah.
So she's also going to gain Lay on Hands, which we talked about her healing as a celestial warlock. This is more healing for Supergirl. So with Lay on Hands, she has a pool of healing power that replenishes when she takes a long rest. And with that pool, she can restore a number of hit points equal to her paladin level times 5. So just 5 points right now, but it'll go up as she gains levels in paladin. And as an action, she can touch a creature to draw power from the pool and restore a number of hit points to that creature up to the maximum amount remaining in her pool. This is great. She can heal with that celestial warlock ability, and now she can heal as a paladin. She can also expend 5 hit points from her pool of healing to cure the target of 1 disease or neutralize 1 poison affecting it.
That's kind of why this fits, I think, so well, because she can't actually, as Kryptonian, get sick.
Right.
So in D&D, if she were ever to get diseased or get poisoned, she could easily lay on hands herself and be fine.
Yeah, and I think that also fits in with the stout halfling race. She's going to have those advantage on saving throws against being poisoned.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to poison her, and if you somehow manage it, she's just going to get rid of that poison. All right, second level in paladin. So we keep going. So 6th yeah. level overall, she's going to gain a fighting style. Now I'm looking at these fighting styles, and honestly, one of my favorite fighting styles for paladin is Blessed Warrior, so that she can learn 2 cantrips of her choice from the cleric spell list, just because I think she should have the cantrip Guidance.
Okay.
I think her being around should, you know, just inspire people to do better. What are your thoughts?
Which fighting style?
Blessed
is this?
Warrior.
Blessed Warrior. I guess the only, I like that. The only one I think might fit as well would be unarmed fighting. It just gives you more damage to your unarmed strikes.
Right.
But it's not like a crazy addition or anything. So Blessed Warrior is a fine choice in my opinion.
Yeah, I say we go with Blessed Warrior because I've been told I'm a very lax DM, so we can flavor it as she's still doing, you know, we can say great sword damage. We can flavor it as those are her fists.
Gotcha.
You know, I don't see Supergirl wielding a huge sword or a battle axe, even though that would be very scary. Let's go Blessed Warrior to give her the Guidance cantrip, because it's, in my opinion, the 2 best cantrips. The best for offense is Eldritch Blast, and the best for support is, in my opinion, Guidance, to just add a d4 to ability checks.
Quick question. Before we jump into a new level, Oh, I guess we still have Divine Smite here, though, to discuss.
We have some more stuff for second level paladins. Get so much. They get the fighting style and also spell casting. And for all the paladin spells, her spellcasting ability is going to be charisma, same as a warlock. So that spell save DC is 8 plus proficiency bonus plus charisma modifier. At 5th level, proficiency bonus increased. Now the spell save DC is going to be 13, which I don't know why I said 14 for warlock. It's not 14. My math was very bad there. It's 8 plus proficiency bonus plus charisma modifier, which is a 13.
You were off by 1.
Yeah. And spell attack modifier is going to be plus 5. So still not great, but again, that's just going to increase. So she has access to paladin spells now, like Cure Wounds, Thunderous Smite, some fun stuff there. And she's also going to gain Divine Smite. which I think is perfect for her. So now when she hits a creature with a melee weapon attack, she can expend one spell slot to deal an additional 2d8 radiant damage for a first level spell slot, plus 1d8 for each spell level higher than first to a maximum of 5d8. If the target's an undead or a fiend, the damage increases by an additional 1d8 to a maximum of 6d8.
That's a lot of damage output.
That's a lot of damage output. And that's kind of what I wanted for her, to be like sturdy and able to take damage and also dish it out. And with, you know, reckless attack, I think Barbarian and Paladin have really good compatibility because, you know, with reckless attack, doubling the chance of getting a crit. And when a Paladin crits, they can double that Divine Smite damage as well. And just really, really hit hard. Okay, so what were you thinking? Should we go third level in Paladin, third level in Warlock, third level in Barbarian? Or we could also pick a fourth class if you want to.
I feel pretty good with the three we've got.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't think we need to pick another class or put another class into the mix. I'm wondering, and this can change, but if we should keep Paladin at second level simply because having both a Warlock patron and an actual deity could be hard to balance, you know?
Yeah. I think, you know, we could think of it as the two are one in the same. It is the sun god that they started as a kind of patron of them to get their powers from the god, but now their own powers have blossomed from this worship of the sun. But I do think that we may have gotten everything we need from Paladin.
Yeah.
So I say we go third level in Warlock. So let's do that. Third level in Warlock, seventh overall, she's going to gain a pact boon. So her otherworldly patron has bestowed a gift upon her. What do we think is fitting as a pact boon for Supergirl? I'm kind of thinking Pact of the Talisman, because this will give her the ability to add a d4 to her ability checks.
That's what I was thinking of too. I thought of maybe Pact of the Chain because she has a super cat.
Yeah,
named Streaky. But I don't know if that's really strong enough, because the fact that you have to, like, get rid of one of your attacks to let your familiar attack.
Right. Yeah, Pact of the Chain isn't my favorite.
Yeah, isn't as powerful. So I think Pact of the Talisman is a good one.
So with Pact of the Talisman, now when Supergirl fails an ability check, they can just add a d4 to the roll, potentially turning the roll into a success, and they can use this a number of times equal to her proficiency bonus per long rest. This is great. Proficiency bonus is +3, so she can use this 3 times. And because of the Blessed Warrior fighting style that we gave her from Paladin, with guidance, she can already add a d4 to an ability check. So she can potentially now add 2d4, which I think is pretty great. She's not going to be failing many ability checks. Fourth level in Warlock, eighth overall. That's finally an ability score improvement. So what ability score of hers do you think we should boost, or should we forego that and pick a feat? I typically like to increase ability scores first and then later in levels pick feats. But what are your thoughts?
I do think that's fine. I do have a funny feat that, again, might be kind of out there to talk about, but that can be later. We can do that later. So we can do ability scores now.
Okay, let's save that, because I am excited about that. So what ability score of hers do you think we should raise? Because I'm looking at her, and she's using a lot of charisma.
Well, I mean, the Warlock spells and the Paladin spells are charisma-based. Oh, no. Yeah, they're both charisma-based. Yeah, so maybe she takes a double improvement to get that up to a +3.
Yeah, so with an ability score improvement, you can increase one ability score of your choice by 2, or 2 ability scores of your choice by 1. So we're going to bump that charisma from a 14 to a 16, which is now a +3 modifier. And that, again, that is a spellcasting ability used for all of her paladin spells, all of her warlock spells as well. So now those just become a little bit more potent.
Which now, you just did the math too early. The save DC is now 14.
Exactly, there you go. I was jumping ahead, I swear. I definitely think we're going to go 5th level in Warlock. 5th level of Warlock, 9th overall, because this will give her access to the fly spell. Like, Kenzie, like you pointed out, it's not an innate ability. It's something she gets from the Yellow Sun. So now she can cast fly on herself and zip around.
Also, I believe, gets another Eldritch Invocation.
Yes. Did you have any thoughts on that? Because she's going to get so many, I don't generally like to take the time to look through all of them every time.
I don't have something that's jumping out right now.
Okay, that's fine. So let's do 6th level in Warlock, 10th overall. She's going to gain another Otherworldly Patron feature called Radiant Soul. So this is going to give her resistance to radiant damage. And when she casts a spell that deals radiant damage or fire damage, she can add her charisma modifier to one roll of that spell against one of its targets, to one damage roll. So I think the resistance to radiant damage makes a lot of sense, because typically radiance is seen as like sunlight. That's not going to hurt her. That's just going to make her stronger.
Yes.
And the extra radiant damage, or fire damage even, is going to be great.
Yeah. I'm thinking maybe we do bump up Barbarian to level 3.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was looking at some of the subclasses there. So let's jump back into Barbarian. 3rd level Barbarian, 11th level overall. She's going to gain her Primal Path or Barbarian subclass. So I had a few thoughts there. What are you thinking?
Ahead, please. Oh, no, I want to hear what you're thinking.
So I was thinking Path of the Zealot.
Mm-hmm.
We're
really on the same page about this.
I love this. So let's do it then. So Path of the Zealot, she gains 2 abilities. First one is Divine Fury. So now while she's raging, the first creature she hits on each of her turns with a weapon attack is going to take extra radiant or necrotic damage equal to 1d6 plus half her barbarian level. So right now 1d6 plus 1. But that's really good. That's just an average of another 4 damage every turn.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's a good one. And of course, radiant damage.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yes. It's going to be radiant damage. And then the other ability is Warrior of the Gods. So, if a spell such as Raise Dead has the sole effect of restoring Supergirl to life, the caster doesn't need material components to cast the spell on her. Yeah, I love that. So extra damage, easier to hop back up into battle. Let's do 4th level Barbarian so she can get another ability score improvement. That's going to be 12th overall. So what are we thinking now? We increased her charisma. We could increase her charisma further to be a plus 4. But looking at this, I kind of want her strength to be increased.
Okay.
I think we bump that 16 to an 18, which is now a plus 4 modifier. Because I...
You get some extra damage. It's Supergirl. Yeah, I don't know. Damage. Like, it's we keep just saying, but like, one of the biggest things is that they have super strength. Like, she should be strong.
Exactly. And while raging, advantage on strength checks and strength saving throws. Now those have increased potency as well. All right. Now I do want to go 5th level in Barbarian. That is 13th overall, so that she can gain extra attack
and fast movement.
And fast movement, exactly. So with extra attack, it's exactly what it sounds like. When she takes the attack action on her turn, she can now attack twice. So that means she can hit, use the Divine Fury ability to deal another 1d6 plus 2 damage, use a smite to deal an additional 2d8 damage, and then she can just extra attack and smite again. Crazy damage output. And
one hit wonder.
Yeah.
Two hit wonder, maybe.
Exactly. Two-hit wonder now. As Kenzie said, she also gains fast movement. She does have this super speed, and this just means her speed increases by 10. So now, as a halfling, their base speed is 25 feet, but it's Supergirl. We're just using the halfling, like, abilities, so we're gonna say she has the base speed of 30, like most races get. So now that's going to be 40 for her. And if she's flying, that speed is 60.
Love that.
So good on the ground, good in the air. So for 14th level, should we keep going in Barbarian?
I was wondering that. Because you don't get... We'd have to go up two more levels of Warlock to get something.
Right. Which we can...
And I don't know... Yeah, we can.
We can do... I just don't know if that would be... Like, I feel like she has all of the spell casting that she really needs.
I would agree. And there is a new ability at 6th level in Barbarian.
Exactly. So let's do that. Let's go 6th level in Barbarian. That is 14th overall. She's going to gain a new path feature from the Path of the Zealot, and that is called Fanatical Focus, which is a really good ability. So while she's raging, if she fails a saving throw, she can just re-roll it, and she has to use the new roll.
Which adds to the lucky feat, or the lucky ability.
Exactly. Exactly. She can only use this ability once per rage, which I think is kind of a bummer, but it's a powerful ability, so I guess I get that. So yeah, if she rolls a nat 1, she can just re-roll it, and if she still fails, she can choose a new roll. She's going to have advantage on those strength saving throws, potentially advantage on those dexterity saving throws. It's going to be tough for her to fail a saving throw.
Yeah.
All right, let's do 7th level in Barbarian, 15th overall. She's going to gain Feral Instinct, which means she's going to have advantage on initiative rolls.
Super speed.
Exactly. That lends itself to the super speed. She's going to be able to get the jump on people more often than not, move faster than them. Additionally, if Supergirl is surprised at the beginning of combat and isn't incapacitated, she can just act normally on her first turn, but only if she enters her rage before doing anything else. Which, I mean, she probably would anyway, because she's getting ready for combat. This, you know, like we talked about, lends itself to the super hearing, the great perception around you. How are you going to get the jump on Supergirl?
I mean, she can fly, she can see through walls. I don't know if you have a chance.
Exactly. She's already so powerful, and we're just gonna keep going. So 8th level in Barbarian, that is 16th overall, another ability score improvement.
So I think I gotta bring my feet up.
You gotta bring your feet up. Please do, I'm so excited.
Okay, this is wild, okay? But just hear me out.
I'm ready.
Warcaster.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
If you're in the middle of combat, as she is going to be, but you also want to cast spells, as she might.
Yeah.
This is great because you have advantage on constitution saving throws to maintain concentration when you take damage.
Great.
You can perform the somatic components of spells, even if you are holding a weapon or a shield.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the use of both of your hands, you can still do it. And when a hostile creature's movement provokes an opportunity attack from you, you can use your reaction to cast a spell at the creature rather than making an opportunity attack. The spell must have a casting time of one action and must target only that creature. But I still think that's a pretty big thing to be able to cast an action spell as a reaction.
Oh, absolutely. And I think we keep coming back to this super speed, but I feel like that also lends itself to it. Like, she's so fast, she can cast a spell as a reaction.
Yeah.
But I do, Warcaster is one of my favorite feats. The advantage on con saves, because a lot of really powerful spells require concentration, especially a lot of paladin spells require that. And the fly spell itself is concentration. So now she's going to have advantage on those saving throws, which, is great. She has advantage on so many saving throws.
Yes, she does. As she should.
As she should. But yeah, this is a great one. Like, an enemy could try running away from her and she just blasts them with her eye beams.
Yeah.
That is, yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, Warcaster is fantastic. Let's do 9th level in Barbarian. That is 17th overall. She's going to gain Brutal Critical. So now whenever Supergirl scores a critical hit, she can roll one additional weapon damage die. So normally when you crit, you just double the dice that you roll for damage. Now she can roll an additional weapon damage die. So if we are giving her fists, you know, great axe stats, which I think they probably have, her fists are definitely like a D12. if she gets a crit instead of 2D12, it's going to be 3D12.
Yeah.
So this brutal critical to me is she's fed up and she doesn't want to hold back anymore.
Yeah.
All right. I think let's just finish out in Barbarian.
I was going to say, I think either way, yeah. I was going to say that or we do 2 more Warlock, but I don't know if there's any. I think doing Barbarian would be better, so I agree.
10th level in Barbarian, that's 18th overall. She's going to gain another path feature from the Path of the Zealot, and that is called Zealous Presence. So as a bonus action, Supergirl can now unleash a battle cry infused with divine energy, and up to 10 other creatures of her choice within 60 feet of her that can hear her are going to gain advantage on attack rolls and saving throws until the start of her next turn. She can do that once per long rest. But what an awesome ability.
Yeah, and I think that goes with, like, when I had picked charisma for her, I know this doesn't actually use your charisma or anything, but you know, this whole thing about empowering other people and persuading other people.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of her biggest things is she does have the ability to give inspiring speeches.
Yeah.
And call people to her aid.
Exactly. And I think this, you know, the reason I picked guidance is much the same reason as this. It's just getting, you know, this ability to inspire others. I think this really drives that home. And also,
yeah.
Just what a good ability. Advantage on attack rolls and saving throws for one round. That is,
yeah,
that's incredible. It's so good. All right, let's do 11th level in Barbarian, 19th overall. That is Relentless Rage, which, you know, we talked about her being very sturdy. I think this is the peak of this sturdiness. So now when Supergirl drops to 0 hit points while she's raging and she doesn't die outright, she can make a DC 10 constitution saving throw, and if she succeeds, she drops to 1 hit point instead. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's so good. Each time she uses this feature after the first, the DC increases by 5. And when she finishes a short or long rest, the DC resets to 10. But yeah, you're gonna get Supergirl down to 0 hit points? I don't think so.
Mm-mm. Not gonna happen.
She's gonna pop up with 1 and just keep fighting. And what's great is this is just a good Barbarian ability, but because she has access to healing, this is big. Because she can come back to 1 hit point, use an action to restore like 10 hit points with Lay on Hands, and then restore 3d6 as a bonus action with her Celestial Warlock ability.
Yeah.
Just be back to fighting fit in a moment.
I have a proposition for this last level.
Lay it on me.
And I know we talked about
all right.
It not being necessary, but I think maybe
you wanted a multi-class.
No. I think maybe we bring Paladin to 3rd level.
Okay.
Because you get divine health, which means she's immune to disease.
Okay.
And you get channel divinity.
Let's do it.
And
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was looking at some oaths here.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it would be a cool dichotomy to choose Oath of the Crown.
Ooh, okay. So, yeah, let's just do it. So, 20th level, the final level, we are going to go 3rd in Paladin, which gives her divine health, like you said, which makes her immune to disease. Makes a lot of sense, because Supergirl is immune to disease.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sacred Oath, which is the Paladin subclass. And you're suggesting Oath of the Crown.
I don't necessarily think that the tenets of this oath necessarily fit, because it's about, like,
yeah, that's fine.
Idyllic civilization, fealty to a sovereign. That doesn't necessarily fit. But the channel divinities that this offer, I think, fit pretty well.
Yes. So she has channel divinity, which is one use of channel divinity per short or long rest. And she has two options. There's champion challenge. So now, as a bonus action, Supergirl issues a challenge that compels other creatures to do battle with her. Each creature of her choice that she can see within 30 feet of her has to make a wisdom saving throw. And on a failed save, a creature can't willingly move more than 30 feet away from her. That's great.
Yeah, it seems pretty good to me.
Yeah, I feel like that uses the idea of that intimidation proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
And then she also gains Turn the Tide, which I think is such a good ability. As a bonus action, Supergirl can bolster injured creatures with her channel divinity, and each creature of her choice that can hear her within 30 feet of her is going to regain hit points equal to 1d6 plus her charisma modifier if it is no more than half its hit points. And there's no limit to the amount of creatures that this can hit. So if it's like a crowded room of people, you know, fleeing from a disaster that are injured, she can just heal all of them 1d6 plus 3. Just from being there.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So that's Supergirl.
Yeah.
That is Supergirl. We did it all 20 levels.
Woo.
Supergirl, Kara Zor-El. For background, we chose Simic Scientist. For race, we chose Stout Halfling. She is a level 6 Celestial Warlock, a level 11 Path of the Zealot Barbarian, and a level 3 Oath of the Crown Paladin. Her ending stats are 18 Strength, 14 Dexterity, 16 Constitution, 13 Intelligence, 12 Wisdom, and 16 Charisma. Some pretty good stats there. For skill proficiencies, she's only proficient in 4 things, which I feel like we could have done a bit more with proficiencies there, but I do really like her build. She has plus 7 to Arcana, plus 9 to Deception, plus 9 to Intimidation, and plus 7 to Medicine. For saving throws, she has plus 7 to Wisdom saving throws and plus 9 to Charisma saving throws. But she has advantage on Strength saving throws, Dexterity saving throws, a lot of Constitution saving throws, so she's going to be saving more often than not. For languages, she knows Common, Halfling, Sylvan, and Celestial. And for feats, she has Warcaster. So what do you think? Do you think we did a good job with Supergirl?
Yeah, I'd play this character easy, and I think she would obliterate the battlefield.
Oh, absolutely. My idea for Supergirl is, what would you say Supergirl's arch nemesis is? Because I know Batman has Joker, Superman has Lex Luthor.
I don't really know from the comics versions. I know, like, one of the biggest in the show was the World Killers, which were, like, evil magical versions of Kryptonians.
Okay. Yeah, so let's say she's going up against them. This 20th level Supergirl is not worried at all. So let's start it with, you know, Supergirl is, she's hanging out. She's taking a nice walk or something. And the World Killers try to ambush her, which, I mean, they can't really do. Because of her defined sense, she already sensed them coming. And with her feral instinct, she can't be surprised as long as she rages. So they're going to roll initiative. She's going to have advantage on those initiative rolls to potentially go before them, not be surprised. So she's in a rage already, just from the audacity of them trying to attack her. I think it would be fun for her to, I think she would start by maybe casting Fly on herself.
Yep, that makes sense.
To give herself more speed, more mobility. So she casts Fly, already used her bonus action. So then they go. And her armor class for 20th level, it's not the best, but she's going to have resistance to bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage. So they're trying to damage her, and they're doing an okay job with it, but she's undeterred as she flies through the air, making all of her concentration checks with advantage because of the Warcaster feat. And what's really great is if one of them hits her and then tries to move away from her, she can use her reaction to cast a spell on them. And I really like, from the Oath of the Crown, one spell she got was Command. So I like the idea of one of them trying to run from her and her just yelling, stay.
Yeah.
And they just stop moving. She turns towards them on her turn and blasts them with four I-beams that each do 1d10 plus 3 damage, potentially 4d10 plus 12 from a cantrip. And then it can bonus action heal herself. I mean, and she hasn't even used her smites or anything.
I know. It's
I feel like they're in a panic because they're like, oh, we thought this was going to be an easy thing of just surprising her, but she's kicking our asses. They try to flee, but she can use her channel divinity ability from Oath of the Crown Champion Challenge to prevent them from moving away from her. So they thought this was going to be an easy thing. Now they are panicked. It's kind of, you know, that thing, what's that saying? Like, I'm not locked in here with you, you're locked in here with me.
Yes.
So she has extra attack. So on her turn, she's going to fly that 60 feet and just wail into them. Two attacks. First one can use that Path of the Zealot ability called Divine Fury to deal 1d6 plus 5 extra radiant damage. As well as, let's see, from Warlock, she's going to have these third level spell slots that she can use on a third level Divine Smite, which would be 4d8 additional damage, plus her 1d12 that we flavored her fists as. So that's 1d12 plus 4d8 plus 1d6 plus 9.
For the strength.
Yeah. Plus her rage, yeah, plus her rage, which is an additional plus 3, I believe, at 11th level. Yeah, so that is, oh man, an average of 24, 27, 39.
Sounds great.
Damage from a single hit.
And she got one more.
39 damage from a single hit, and she got one more that she can just lay into them. She quickly tears through them all. Anytime they deal damage, she can lay on hands. Now she has 15 points of healing. She has the D6s from being a warlock that she can heal herself as a bonus action, firing those eye lasers at them, dealing potentially 4d10 plus 12 damage with a cantrip. And she tears them apart so easily.
They gotta be obliterated in like 18 seconds.
Oh, absolutely. Three rounds, she's just done with them. And then she can just, you know, continue on her nice walk.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is Supergirl. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. You can email in character suggestions to me at fantasizemepod@gmail.com. Let me hear those suggestions. I love to hear them, and I love to do them. Again, that email is fantasizemepod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Twitch, and YouTube, all under fantasizemepod. And I'm currently streaming on Twitch Kingdom Hearts 2, which, it's like my favorite game. I'm having a lot of fun with that. So check that out, twitch.tv/fantasizemepod. Kenzie, thank you so much for being on. This was so much fun. Yeah, you are my first guest who I've never met in real life. And who isn't in the room with me, which is very
new
fun,
experiences.
Very exciting. Exactly. So if you just want to remind people where they can find you.
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ktartaglioni8, and you can find my podcast, Queer PG, at Queer PG Pod.
Beautiful. Definitely check it out. So awesome. Thank you for being here, and thank you for listening. Remember to tell your friends, tell your enemies, and tell your friends' enemies to listen to this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And we'll do this again soon. Bye.